The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Well, the new Devil Wears Prada film has some great cameos. People like Lady Gaga and Heidi Klum pop up in it, and it has inspired Screen Time's John Fardy to explore some of the best cameos in film. And John is with me now, having done all of his research under his arm.
What? Oh, wait. Yeah, OK.
Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do, John. What qualifies as a cameo? Like, what is it?
Well,
define.
It's interesting because, you know, Oscar adjudicators would have issues about it. Like, it has to be a certain length. I think it can't be any more than 5 minutes. Because sometimes there's arguments about people getting nominated for Best Supporting Actor and, like, were they on screen long enough? So, really, it's certainly no longer than 5 minutes, but often it's 30 seconds or something like that. It's just a flash of a face. But I guess it can't be a main character or even a supporting character. And they work best when it's like, oh my God, was that just, you know? So Exhibit A, this one every time gets me. Tom Cruise, who's, you know, a great actor, great movie maker, but quite controlling of his image, it's fair to say.
I think that's fair.
And all that goes with it. I still can't get over the fact that he played a character called Les Grossman, who is this movie executive who is horrible, overweight, bald. It was really hard to find a clip without profanities, and I struggled. But he's the executive on a movie called Tropic Thunder, which is meant to be this movie set in Vietnam where all these egomaniacal actors go away and they're going to make this Vietnam movie, and it all falls apart. And in the background from the States is this character, Les Grossman, basically cursing at everyone. Have a little flavour.
That's me, sir. It's good to finally meet you at last. Get some face time.
And who here is a key grip?
You.
Hit that director in the face. Really fucking hard.
Oh! Ow, ow, ow.
This is your fault. The money bed, my friend.
Tom Cruise. Yeah. Is this not Tom Cruise telling us that he's fun and he's nice and he's a bit of crack?
Absolutely. And most of these cameos are, because you're kind of endeared towards people when they do this, I can't help but thinking. So it's often a win-win for them because they seem kind of cool. And sometimes they're completely sending their public image up, which is quite clever. Now, the master of this, to my mind, to turn to TV, was what Ricky Gervais was able to get out of people in Extras. Mm-hmm. You know, you had Kate Winslet going, oh, I'm only doing this so I can win an Oscar. Ben Stiller going, well, Starsky and Hutch made $47 million. What do you know? Like, an endless supply. But the daddy of them all was the late, great David Bowie, sitting in a club with his character in Extras, Ricky Gervais's Andy Millmount, who's having a lot of commercial success for this new sitcom he's in, but critically, it's being lambasted. He meets David Bowie in this nightclub and thinks, you know, artist to artist, I'll share my pain with him. It doesn't quite go that way.
Not going down too well, huh? It's getting 6 million viewers. I mean, it's not exactly how I meant it to be, because the BBC have interfered and sort of chased ratings and made it the lowest common denominator sort of comedy, sort of catchphrases and wigs. And I think I've sold out, to be honest, but yeah, it's difficult, isn't it, when to keep your integrity when you're going for that first
little fat man who sold his soul.
The little
fat man who sold his dream. Chubby little loser. Chubby little loser, national joke. No, not chubby little loser. No. Pathetic little fat man, no one's bloody laughing. The clown that no one laughs at, they all just wish he'd die. He's so depressed at being useless, the fat man takes his own life.
No.
He's so depressed at being hated, Fatty takes his own life.
Fatso.
I like Fatso.
Yeah, let's go with Fatso.
Fatso takes his own life. He blows his bloated face off.
No.
He blows his stupid brains out.
But the twat I'd probably miss.
Yes, Linda, I like that.
Yeah, so do I. It's brilliant, Linda.
He sold his soul for a shard of fame.
Yeah, he wins.
I think he does, doesn't he? And the funny thing is, Gervais said, you know, when they talked David Bowie into him and they agreed what the setup was going to be, he said to Gervais, said to Bowie, so, you know, play a song on the piano about me and kind of in the vein of Life on Mars. And David Bowie said, okay, I'll just write another Life on Mars for you then. But in fairness, Bowie took it well. Bowie was also in Zoolander and a couple of other things. He enjoys, God bless him, God rest him, he used to enjoy sending himself up a bit.
But I wonder, that, was that, that is scripted? Brilliant. Like, did they just say, do a thing, here's your rough guide? We don't know, do we?
Well, no, they do. It was certainly scripted to a large extent, but Bowie did write the music and him and Gervais worked on it together. Mm-hmm. But it remains the par excellence of cameos, I have to say.
We're going to talk about Hitchcock now, appearing in almost all of his films.
Yeah.
I think when you do it almost all of the time, it starts to lose its power.
Possibly, but the thing about Hitchcock is he never spoke in them. Sometimes they were literally blink and you miss it. Sometimes, you know, in Rebecca, I think it is, he's standing at a phone box. In another one, his picture's just in the paper. It was tiny at times and it just became kind of nearly a bit of a joke. So I'm behind it. And
you're
invented the modern cameo, I have to say. And people have used it all sorts of years. There was a News Talk ad on TV a couple of years ago that had a Hitchcockian element to it, you could even suggest.
There you go. You see the influence that he's had?
Yes, indeed.
I like Jilly Cooper in the first season of Rivals as well. Did you watch Rivals?
Oh, I did, indeed. Yeah, in fact, I'm talking to Victoria Smurfit next week about season two.
Yeah.
Because it's just back and it's a brilliant show.
Next week. She was in a hotel, wasn't she?
Yeah.
In a hotel bar. And now she's no longer with us. So
indeed,
it's good that it happened.
No, indeed she is.
So where are we going? Keith Richards?
Yeah, Keith Richards. A lot of people don't realise that Johnny Depp's character, Sparrow, was based largely on Keith Richards. And Keith Richards heard this and decided he'd do his own cameo. And when you see Keith Richards and you see Johnny Depp, you can really see that Johnny Depp was mining that whole Keith Richards of vibe.
It's an impression.
Yeah, it kind of is. A very lucrative impression that allowed him to buy islands and drink mega pints of wine, as the court case told us. I have to bring you Keanu Reeves, because to me, this is the one where, you know, Keanu Reeves has a reputation, it's being a very successful actor, but not a very good actor. And I know that's heresy.
Everyone really likes Keanu Reeves.
Yes, because he's embraced.
So don't be mean about him.
I don't want to be. And someone who works in your show, Anne-Marie Kane, would hate the fact that I would be mean about him.
I'm doing this for Anne-Marie.
I know, we all are in some ways. Every morning I wake up, really, that's what I'm thinking. But anyway, but what's become great about Keanu Reeves, he gets that maybe he's not the world's greatest actor and he's embraced it. And in Always Be My Maybe, which is a great Netflix rom-com with Ali Wong and her childhood sweetheart, it's a love affair that isn't quite coming to fruition. They were childhood sweethearts. And she starts going out with Keanu Reeves and he shows up on this date as Keanu Reeves and he's pure Keanu.
A pleasure to meet you, Marcus.
Likewise, Keanu. I love your outfit.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah.
Tom Ford made it custom for me.
I didn't know you wore glasses.
Oh, I don't. My eyes are perfect. This is for a part. They don't even have lenses in them. See?
Well.
I love the suit. Classic.
Thank you, thank you. It's my old tux from prom.
That's great. I dropped out of high school, went to work, followed my dream.
Is that who he is? That's who he is, is it? I like him even more now.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that cool? So it's one thing to appear in a cameo and try and be cool, but to actually fully send yourself up, that was impressive.
Listener says, Peter Jackson appears in all of his movies. Stan Lee is in all of the Marvel movies.
Yeah.
So Hitchcock started all of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cate Blanchett then in Hot Fuzz.
Yeah, people don't realise this, so The protagonist, not Nick Frost, the other one, Simon Pegg, shows up to a crime scene and she's actually the pathologist, but she's under a mask and you can't really see her. Daniel Craig, a lot of people don't realise, is in The Force Awakens, but he keeps a mask on him. He really wanted to be in a Star Wars movie, apparently, but he kept the mask on and you're watching it and there's a stormtrooper talking to Daisy Ridley and you go, is that Daniel Craig? And it turns out it was, but it was impressive that he kept the mask on. I know some people be disappointed he didn't.
It's a problem with the James Bond role, though, isn't it? Can't do anything else.
Yeah, I think
wear a mask to be anything else.
Yeah, it's a good point. I think he's kind of put that to bed.
Do you think?
Yeah. He hated it by the end of it.
Oh yeah, you could tell.
Yeah, I mean, he really did. want to be there. Poor Daniel. Let's all feel sorry.
Don't want to do it anymore.
He had to wear a mask.
Oh, now we've mentioned James Bond and we're going to Sean Connery.
Yeah, Sean Connery showed up in Prince of Thieves and it was a massive secret in the time. He showed up in the Kevin Costner, Robin Hood one, and it was a recreation of the 1938 Errol Flynn one, and he's kind of unmasked. It was amazing. And this was a time pre-internet when none of these things were spoiled. Like you mentioned The Devil Wears Prada. People like me probably spoiled some of those cameos last week, but it was amazing. I remember being in the cinema watching that, and there was Sean Connery, kind of like the original action man. That was a great one. The Margot Robbie one in The Big Short,
oh yeah,
is kind of weird.
Is
in
that
a
cameo?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Was she famous though at that time? Do we know her?
Oh yeah, no, we did. So The Big Short, for people who don't know, is kind of a great movie by Adam McKay about the financial crisis. And you know, there's quite highfalutin stuff about subprime mortgages and debt to equity ratio and derivatives and stuff I don't understand. And halfway through the movie, they're kind of saying, we might be losing you here, so let's put Margot Robbie in a bath and explain it. And it's either very ironic or it's a bit sexist. Let's see.
Wall Street loves to use confusing terms to make you think only they can do what they do. Or even better, for you just to leave them the f*** alone. So here's Margot Robbie in a bubble bath to explain.
Basically, Louis Raineri's mortgage bonds were amazingly profitable for the big banks. They made billions and billions on their 2% fee they got for selling each of these bonds. But then they started running out of mortgages to put in them. After all, there are only so many homes and so many people with good enough jobs to buy them, right?
Liam Neeson in Derry Girls, says a listener, and another, I'm pretty sure, Stephen King cameos in his movies, says Nikki in City West.
He's been in plenty of them. He's not in all of them, but yeah.
And Keanu is playing a gig next month in the Olympia with his band Dog Star, so I'm glad we were nice about him.
Yeah, we were nice about him. I just have to go back to, what did I say 30 seconds ago? Yeah, we were nice about him.
You were also nice to Sally Field, and we can hear your chat with her on Screen Time.
She's in a new Netflix movie called Remarkably Bright Creatures, Befriending an Octopus, as strange as that sounds. And she was delightful and is in great form and talked about one of my favourite films of all time, Mrs. Doubtfire.
Oh, and I've watched that recently,
so
and
she
was fabulous in that. John, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That is John Fardy from News Talk's Screen Time. Now,
the Claire Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.